Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 and 27 says, "Then God said, 'Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth.' So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them." Let's bow our heads together and ask the Lord to bless our brief consideration tonight. Father in heaven, how grateful we are, Lord, for this time that we have to gather, this word that you've given us to gather around, and your presence here among us as we do so. Father, I thank you, Lord, for your hand upon us in direction, in leading, in strengthening, in enabling us to whatever that you call us to. Father, I pray that you would help us to reach back towards you and take that strength, take that enabling that you have, that we might grow in faith and grow nearer to you as we consider everything that you have called us to. Bless us tonight, Father, in taking the steps that you want us to even now. We give you the glory and the praise and ask all of these things in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. Well, as you can see, our title there is Created in His Image. I'm going to get a little goofy here, a little congregation participation here. Let me see. Give me one second there. Man, Josh, you're looking sharp tonight. Let me see if I can do a little, I don't know. Oh, technical difficulties here. There we go. Now let's see what I got. Typically, we're pretty good at making images. Now, Josh is looking good. You're gonna have to take my word for it, but you can see his orange shirt there, standing out there like a good hunter that he might be. I'm not sure. There he is, right where we can see him. Typically, unless you're technologically stunted or unfamiliar or in front of 40 people, we're good at creating images. I just created a likeness of Josh there, even from the pulpit here. I can make that if I had so chosen. I could have made that image move. I couldn't make it move, but I could have taken a video image that showed Josh smiling, turning his head, and all of these things. I can create an image there. And when I show that to you, even though it's fuzzy and it's blurry, from a distance, Brother David probably could look at that and say, yeah, it looks pretty good like Josh. When you get right up close, you see it's all pixelated and fuzzy and all of that sort of thing. And we'll get back to that picture in just a moment. You instantly know who that is. If I were to show you that, even if it was blurry, you'd see the orange shirt and just do a quick look around and say, it's Josh. Sure it is. It's Josh. I can see the likeness there now. But we understand, as we oftentimes say, when we consider this passage, when we consider the thought of being created in his image, when we consider the images that we see in Scripture that represent Christ, whether they're the objects we'll talk about here briefly in just a moment, whether it's those things or the other pictures and illustrations that we have in the Word of God, we know that images are just facsimiles, they're just shadows, they're just shades, likenesses of the things that they are given to be an image of. They are not the equivalent of the real thing. And so we have been created, mankind has been created in the image and likeness of God. And we're familiar with this truth, and we understand that a number of people, even if they haven't spent much time in the Bible, they can say, yeah, they say that we're created in the image of God. We ourselves are something that reflects, the Lord God. Something about us should be looked upon and recognized as being a child of God. Even those ones who aren't children of God, we can look at that and see that there's some measure, remarkable creation did this. There's an image there that was the handiwork of the Lord God. Similar to those things we see in Scripture, as I mentioned a second ago, that there are those images, those things that are given to portray, to illustrate, Jesus specifically is in these things that I'm pointing out. The law is given. You can turn to Hebrews chapter 10, look at Hebrews chapter 10, then flip back to Hebrews chapter 9. The law was something that was given, that it itself and the construct that it established and the objects that it designated for God's use and in worship from his people, in the roles that different people played in a number of different places under the law, we see pictures, we see images. The law itself its sacrifices, its procedures. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 1 talks to that end. For the law having a shadow, an image, you might say, an image of the good things to come and not the very image of the things, can never with these same sacrifices, which they offer continually year by year, make those who approach perfect. What it's saying is these things that the law presented and that Jesus put away, those things were just pictures, just shadows, just images, fuzzy ones that you look at and you say, well, I can see Jesus in that. It's not exactly the Son of God, but I can see where Jesus is presented there. Not sure why my voice is cracking tonight, but there it is. The tabernacle, the temple, also presented under the law. The camps and the way Israel was given to camp and the order they were given to camp and the order that they were given to lead out. There are pictures there. The Ark of the Covenant that was carried before. Those ones when they marched and was kept in that holiest place. The things created to represent the Lord. They were pictures. In Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 24. For Christ has not entered the holy places made with hands, which are copies of the true. Just images. But into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. The sacrifices, the places, the objects, the utensils, all of those things reflected Jesus. They were images. And similar to that, and to a much greater measure, simply because we're beings. We're alive. We're not just the cups. We're not just the utensils. We're not just a gold-layered box. We're living, breathing people. With souls, with spirits, we represent the Lord. We are images of Him. There are shades of God in us. Now, what do we do with those images? Of course, we can and we should make that image much clearer than that was of Josh. It should look much, much clearer than our brother there. I mean, you can see who it is. There's some Ian in there too, and you can see my mom back there as well. You can tell who they are, but we want to be clearer than that. We want to be something sharper, you might say. We want to improve the accuracy and deepen the realism there. We want to make clearer Christ in you, the hope of glory. Romans 8:29 says, certainly we're going to be glorified. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. We are going to have a glorified body. We have been predestined, we who have that the Lord knew would accept Jesus for their own. We are going to be given a glorified body. We are going to be made much different than we are in the flesh right now. But that transformation doesn't have to wait. The transformation physically is going to happen to all of God's people, but there's a different transformation that takes place inside. And that doesn't have to wait till we're in the presence of Jesus. That transformation is intended to take place right now and tomorrow and the day after that, should the Lord tarry, from glory to glory. We all with unveiled face, Paul says in 2 Corinthians 3:18, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. So what this tells us is that while we were created in His image, it wasn't a perfect image. It wasn't a perfect form. It wasn't a completed image. There was something more. There is something more, and there continues to be something more for God's people to be shaped into. We're created in the likeness and image of God, and we can begin clarifying and perfecting that image. And not just begin, but continually, consistently, to a great measure, demonstrate that to where it's more and more clearly seen. Now, I felt led to kind of bring up the opposite tonight as well, where we can become errant in this image. That is to go in the opposite direction, is to not, recognize that we are images of God, but to suppose somehow and approach the Lord as though He's created in our image, or to treat Him as though He was, supposing that He is more like us than we should be like Him. Now I could say, hey Josh, why don't you act more like this picture here? Why don't you behave more like this fuzzy, flat, malformed, can't really see. We know it's you, but why don't you act more like that? Why don't you just get a little bit fuzzier? Why don't you get a little bit less lifelike? Why don't you get a little less real? That would be the equivalent of what it would be, and it would be foolish for me to look at Josh and say, hey, dude, act more like this photo. It makes no sense. And yet, that is what people do with the Almighty God, the one whom we are created in his image. In Romans chapter 1, Paul speaks of that fallacy, speaks of that error. He speaks of those professing to be wise but becoming fools and change the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man. Now that can be very, very specific. All through Scripture, it goes on to say, in birds and four-footed animals and creeping things, all through Scripture we saw different idols that were built in the form of man, different idols built in the form of cows, different idols built in the form of whatever. There were a number of different ones, a form of Dagon and a number of other false gods. You can see those idols that actually were crafted and created. Some were even pointed out and said, here is your God. That's what Aaron said about that golden calf that he made. Here is your God that delivered you. Change the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man. But you know, saints, even though those graven images are presented throughout Scripture, so often what takes place, the most prevalent and readily created image of God that we try to create is what happens in our own minds. We create this straw man of a God, one who thinks like us, one that looks like us, one who agrees and considers like us. And that simply isn't so. God doesn't have our mind, and just because we feel a certain way or have determined a certain way or are slanted a certain way does not mean that that's how God thinks or God feels, no matter how much we want it to be so. After these floods that took place in Texas several weeks ago, there were a number of things that came out on news media, social media, and the like, that they said, here's footage caught of the floods down in Texas. Tragic things. And you watch this video, and for just a second, you're like, oh my goodness, it's unbelievable. And you see these houses, and you see a river, and all of a sudden the river overflows its banks, and you see these houses getting torn away, and it's perfectly crisp, clear footage, and you're thinking, man, that is unreal how fast it is. And that's exactly true, because it was unreal. It was artificial. It was AI that was created. And it doesn't take very long before you look at it and you think, oh, that's a little bit too real. That's a little bit too pat. That's a little bit, well, the angle of the camera, there's no camera that's set at that angle. There's no camera that's set that perfectly catches this. And, oh, I see little imperfections here and there. It just looks too real for what it's presenting itself to be. It's too much what I want to see. It's too perfect of a gut punch kind of presentation. It's artificial. It's not real. It's false. Saints, God's thoughts are above our thoughts, and his ways are above our ways. He doesn't rationalize like we do. He doesn't look at things and consider them in the same manner that we do. He doesn't fear the way that we do. He doesn't envy the way that we do. He doesn't hurt the way that we do. He doesn't fatigue the way that we do. He doesn't falter the way that we do. He doesn't explain things away that we would rather not deal with the way that we do. He doesn't let things go and just accept things the way that we do. He doesn't grow weary in well-doing the way that people do. He is touched by our struggles, to be sure, but he isn't defined by the struggles that this weak body I have can be defined by if I yield to it. Balaam had his faults, but he said truth when he said, God is not a man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should repent. He doesn't have that weakness. James said, with him there is no variation or shadow of turning. He is who he is, in James 1:17. Of his own will he brought us forth by the word of truth, not the opposite. We don't shape him into what we want him to be. We don't shape him into what our context and our life needs him to be in order to satisfy our comforts. He brought us forth by the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. We are his. Saints, what a blessing it is that we're created in his image, and that we can, with time and faithfulness, certainly be transformed from glory to glory, clarifying that image of him in us, making clear and deeper and more full and more realistic and lifelike that image of him in us. We must not try to reduce God to our level. We must not try to shape him to our image and what makes sense here. If you want real godliness, if you want real fellowship, emphasis on the real. Real clarity of his image in you, then don't try to make him look like you. That is not real God. That's artificial, and I won't say intelligence. It's actual foolishness is what it is. Reality is the most real that you can get, and God presents himself in reality here. And if you're willing to hear him, he'll present himself in reality here as well. Make your foundation the reality that is the Lord. Pattern yourself after his image and not vice versa. Don't try to pattern God after you. He is able, more than able, to make you what he wants you to be. Don't try to make him what you want him to be. It's false. It's not real. We are in his image. Be grateful for that truth.